Horseshoes, rabbit's feet, four-leaf clovers? Get real. You don't rely on lucky charms to get more profit potential. Because you know that great yields thrive on science, not superstition. So protect your crop with Miravis Neo Fungicide, proven to outperform, outlast, and outyield all the rest. To see your best yields, trust Miravis Neo Fungicide, because you don't need luck. You need an edge. Ask your Syngenta retailer about Miravis Neo now. Always read and follow label instructions.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
But first, I'm joined by Eamon Ryan, former leader of the Green Party, also a legend, Eamon, we should say. You're here because you are upset and annoyed at the government. You've accused them of madness and of undermining Ireland's climate action plans. What's going on?
Yeah, I write in the Irish Times every second week on climate issues. And I think there's a really big and important story that kind of went under the radar because it was a vote in the Dáil last week on the Critical Infrastructure Bill. And that's a bill which is designed, in my mind, the primary purpose is to make sure that no project is delayed because of climate ambition, no big infrastructure project that the government might want to fund. And I think it's particularly about roads projects. The government want to build back, building bigger, more roads. And that's not sustainable on a climate basis. And they wanted to remove the legal impediment that might stop them doing that.
So this is more of, oh, the Greens are gone. We can do what we want.
Yeah, pretty much. I think. Now, it wasn't just, sorry, the vote, though, what kind of shocked me in a way, the vote was 132 in favour and only 15 against. And that shocked me for a couple of reasons. Firstly, opposition parties you would have thought would have been protecting climate interests, the likes of the Social Democrats voted for it. But also, it kind of shocked me because, in a sense, it was the exact opposite of the vote that we'd had 4 years ago to support the climate law. So 4 years ago, it was exactly the opposite. It was 125, I think, to 211. And this time it flipped the other way, 132 to 15, in what could only be seen, in my mind, as an attempt to undermine the climate law that we put in place 4 years ago.
But this is political then. If the vote was that strong in favour of this, this is the politician saying we have to give the people what they want, which is more roads and more infrastructure and at a quicker pace.
Yeah, and I think there is an underlying understandable frustration that it's so slow and so expensive to build things in our country. So perhaps that explains it. It came in under the guise of, oh, this is just about speeding up our planning system. But we've just introduced 2 years ago a law that was designed to do that. And Minister Jack Chambers, who introduced the bill in his contribution to the date, was clear, actually, it's really about getting around a Supreme Court decision that was made last year, which said that the climate law, Section 15 of the climate law, had to be respected. And there was a similar decision, High Court decision in Belfast again last year, which stalled the A5 roads project because it said, well, it doesn't seem to be climate proofed. And the problem I have is, okay, it is an undermining of the climate law. There's no doubt about it in my mind. And I think those who voted for it have to answer why, if they think they're interested in serious climate action. But the other thing that really concerns me, this comes just after Commission Pinnall has made a decision to go ahead with the Galway bypass. And that's a kind of a motorway, which has been many years in the planning, which a major road which goes skirts around Galway. It's like a ring road around Galway. The only outcome from that, in my mind, is the sprawl of Galway. And actually, Galway, which is a stunning city, beautiful city. I remember being at a conference in Galway in the NUIG a few years ago, and someone said, God, if only we'd built out more Galway when we were building out Galway. Instead, the way Galway is now going to go, particularly because of this roads-based development of Galway, is what I would describe as like a Texan town, out-of-town retail stores, kind of urban sprawl, the Galway sprawl.
And taking the heart out of the city.
It doesn't work. Now, they will argue, oh, no, it's to free up traffic in the city.
Yes, people who are stuck for hours on end trying to get to and from work, all those cars
that come onto that road have to go somewhere. And the housing patterns that you get when you go on a roads-based approach is inherently unsustainable. It doesn't work because it always ends in gridlock. It's not good for our health outcomes. It's not good for the environment. It's not the way modern cities are going. Like, just at the moment when cities across the world are realizing you can't go on a car-based city development, our government is going back all in on a car-based transport
system.
Okay,
but this decision that the Oireachtas has taken around the Critical Infrastructure Bill, does that not mean that things like the Galway-Lewis, for example, could happen at a faster pace because that decision was taken?
They're building the road first. And when you build the road first,
you won't do the
it kills the case for the Galway-Lewis. I was involved, involvement in this. Going back in the late 90s, I remember I was involved in the Dublin Transportation Advisory Committee. And we had a platform for change. It was the big plan for the future of Dublin. And I'll never forget, the main engineers, the main planners came in and said, OK, here are the various projects, metro, widening the M50. Whatever you do, they said, do the public transport first, or else the city will develop along the road. What did the government do then? It did the roads first and never built the public transport. And what do we have? A Dublin that is defined by the M50, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work for the motorists because you can't tell it's going to be a half-hour journey or a three-hour journey. If there's an accident on the carriageway, you're goosed. And it's the problem is the next road up for government, they're going to go ahead with the Galway bypass, which is guaranteeing a sprawled Galway. Then they want to build a motorway from Cork to Limerick, Limerick to Cork. It comes to a dead end in Cork city centre, in the village of Blackpool. It doesn't work. All that traffic has to go somewhere. So what then you have to do is you have to build a ring road around Cork on the north side, and you're guaranteeing that Cork makes the same mistakes Dublin made.
And so what's the alternative to that Limerick-Cork road?
We have, first of all, I would do a bypass of Charleville and Buttevant. Those towns need to be bypassed. Absolutely. Improve the safety of the roads. That has to be. That's where we should be spending the roads budget. There's towns all over the country that are clogged with traffic. Tipperary town. You could loads of examples which would benefit from the roads budget being spent on bypasses. But in Cork City, just to take that as an example, we already started upgrading under our time of government the Metropolitan Rail. And it's absolutely ready to go. Irish Rail could start tomorrow putting new stations in right across the north side of Cork, and you build Cork along that rail line. On the south side and actually connecting to the north side, you build Cork-Lewis. You build the bus connects. And it's the same in Limerick and Waterford. We have the public transport projects ready to go. We don't have the money. In the revision of the National Development Plan, which was agreed last year, there is not the money for the bus connects projects and for the rail projects, which are ready to go in Dublin, in Cork, in Limerick and in Waterford and Galway.
But I see now news this morning that there's four new train stations going to be built in Meath as part of plans for a new railway line, finally connecting Navan to Dublin. I mean, that has been 30 or 40 years.
But there's no money for it, Claire. There isn't the money in the budget for it. Trust me, I was there as Transport Minister.
Is this not a priority, though, our infrastructure projects? Is this not why they have put forward the Critical Infrastructure Bill?
Public transport has to be the priority. It is the only thing that's going to work. But it's not politically popular because there's a narrative out there that our time of government, we were against roads, we stopped it. Mm-hmm. What we were trying to do is to get the public transport that we've never built. And it is ready to go. In Dublin, the DART, we have plans to double the DART in Dublin. It's through planning permission now. It's ready to go. It doesn't have the funding. We have 10 bus connects corridors that have been 10 years in planning. And again, nothing being built. We have a Lewis to Finglas that, again, 10 years in planning. It should be built now.
So what you're saying is any money that's there is going into the roads now.
Not any money. They'd roughly split it half and half. But the problem is...
But it's about priorities, isn't it?
Yeah. When you build the roads first, the housing and other development patterns then undermine the public transport projects. And that, and also set you on a course that is unsustainable in climate terms, that never works in transport terms because it only leads to gridlock. You would think we would have learned that lesson, but we haven't. And I think the bill last week was, in my mind, the most shocking example of this, an acceptance of that car-dominated, unsustainable, high carbon emissions. Even if you switch all the cars to electric, you still have all the emissions about all the new concrete you pour as you move outwards and outwards and outwards.
But there's another contradiction here as well, because the government will still have to meet the climate targets, right? Even though what they've done now is told an Comisiún Pleanála to sort of ignore the climate targets through this Critical Infrastructure Bill.
And that's why I think what Minister Chambers did won't work. He could have tried to just open the climate law or abandon it, you know, kind of. But that would have been politically very sensitive. I don't think they would have got a vote 132 to 15. So instead, they've amended it through this mechanism. But the problem is, and for them, the bill had what I would call a belt and braces approach. So the BELT was the Section 15 that every public body had to make sure their projects were in line with the climate plan. But the BRACES were that the ministers responsible for each area have to show that if they're off track in their their emissions, how they will change course so that we get back on track. Transport is the area where we're not meeting our climate targets. It's about a fifth of our emissions. It's not decreasing. And Minister Dara O'Brien, Minister of Transport, has under the law a responsibility to come into the Oireachtas Committee and show what changes to policy he will make to get us back in track.
And does he still have to do that under
yes,
this change?
Yes, he does. So I think it's actually, they haven't actually, because they couldn't go in and change the climate law in that way. It wouldn't have been politically acceptable. But by doing it in this sideways way, they haven't actually delivered a legal certainty. And I think there's a real, I think the Oireachtas Transport Committee has to ask a simple question. How are you going to meet our transport emissions if you're building all these big roads that is setting our country on a car-dependent future, which is inherently unsustainable?
And he is legally obliged to not only come and explain that, but to provide a route to climate sustainability.
Exactly.
So they haven't circumvented that.
No.
Well, there must be hope there from your point of view.
Yeah, no. After 30 years banging my head against this, you never give up hope. I mean, the main hope is this. I think the people want the public transport. Like, I think in Cork, the frustration would be, where's our Lewis? Mm-hmm. You know, where's the bus connects we've been... In Dublin, like, we did major public consultation on the bus connects. It's ready to go. The frustration is, such is the lack of money for transport in the current government, there are no new rural bus services being rolled out at the moment. None. There are no new urban bus services rolled out at the moment because they don't have the current funding to run new bus services, let alone the capital. And I think that's a political story because I think those rural bus services were the most popular thing in this country in years. People flocked to them. Mm-hmm. They realised that tying people into a car-dependent system where you have no options, you have no choice but to take the car, does not work. We're seeing it. Congestion is growing again.
It certainly is. I think everybody is seeing that.
Yeah, and people are fed up with it. And I think they'll be really fed up when they realise that all the public transport projects that were promised and which are ready to go, which have been in the planning system for years and which are now ready to be built, are not going to be built because we're building roads instead.
Okay. And I just to bring people up to speed with what's happening in relation to the Navan rail line, it is the public consultation that opens today, and Éireann Ród Éireann has this morning published the preferred route for the 34-kilometre line. So new stations are proposed for Dunshaughlin, Kilmessan and two new stations in Navan. There'll be Navan Central and Navan North. But will it happen? That is the question.
That's the question.
All right, Eamon, thank you very much for being with us.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.